Blog Talk Radio.
The Second Epistle General of Peter. 2 Peter 1.
Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. And to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory, when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn, and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Good morning. This is Deacon Thomas Farr, and you're listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'd like to welcome to the broadcast this morning. It is Saturday, the 16th of February, 2019. We thank God for you. We thank God for those who have called in at 646-668-2636, and those of you who are listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr. This is February 2019. We pray all is well. And we are just going to, today, we just want to speak a word of encouragement and on the character of God, on character of a God's man and who we are in Christ and the things that we are starting to shape and mold, that God makes a change with us through his word, that he makes us a new creatures in Christ. And some of the things, again, this the character issues that we talk about here, it's about looking at ourselves and seeing who we are, who we live, how we think, how we treat others. Are we gaining in more Christ-likeness in our everyday walk? Because again, this is a walk, this is a lifestyle, this is who we are. It's not something that we are trying to accomplish on our own, but it comes with yielding, it comes with submitting unto the Holy Spirit, through his word, through prayer, through the fellowship of the saints, where we hold each other accountable. So again, that's what we're going to do here today in Issues Christian Men's Talk, and that is the whole philosophy and the theme behind our talk show, is to be able to encourage one another, encourage the brothers out there listening, to see where you are, to measure yourself against Scripture. Because again, as I come on, my guests and the brothers that come on the program to share and talk, it says it's encouragement. It's not that we have it all together. It's that we seek to be more like Christ in what we do. And this is just a tool. When the Bible speaks of iron and sharpened iron, to be able to come alongside and encourage one another and hold each other accountable. Amen? And open it up discussion and just see where we're thinking. Because I think the most important thing we have to remember about Scripture, about the Word of God, is application. How are we going to apply what we learned? Like in anything else, when we grow in the knowledge and understanding of something, because we have defined ourselves as Christian. So what does that mean? What does it look like? And how do we apply that to our lives, to those around us, to those in our circle of influence, into our families, into our wives and children? Amen? Amen. Elder Mark, good morning, sir. How are you this morning?
I'm blessed, sir. Good morning to you. Excuse me. Blessed. Thank Amen. You so much. As always, it's a wonderful opportunity to be on with you.
Amen. Well, thank you, brother, for taking time out your Saturday morning and joining us and sharing your insights. Well, today we're going to talk about three particular character traits today, or building blocks of our character, or the areas of our life where we have to submit to God and let Him in and let us change us. Because no matter where we come from, no matter our background, you know, once we confess Christ, once we seek Christ, once we become a slave of righteousness and call ourselves a Christian, now we have to submit to His word and start to apply it and let the word shape and change and mold us. Because, again, we're not the same who we used to be. We shouldn't be the same who we were last week, last month, last year. You know, we just came into the new year. This is the second month of the new year. Are you, and only every man can answer this for himself, are you different than you were last year? Are you still struggling with the same things you struggled with? Or are there new challenges in your life? Because, again, everything's not going to fall in line here on earth, because this is not paradise, this is not heaven on earth. But it is us being able to live out our lives, taking life on life's terms, and using the word of God to direct the choices, decisions, and how to even handle the trials, temptations, and struggles that we go through as men of God, as fathers and husbands. So where are you today? What changes did you need to make from last year? Are you drawing closer to God? Are you becoming more of a disciple? Have you grown in your discipleship of God? And is God using you in the lives of others around you? These are the things that we have to look at, because, again, if we look at Scripture, we look at the growth of the church, we look at in the Old Testament, we see what Israel went through and struggled with as a nation, and then if we look in the New Testament, we see how the church was grown, how people grown as the apostles went out and preached the gospel. So today, again, we're going to touch on a couple of things. We're going to touch on three specific ones today. Hopefully we get to them all. But we're going to go with selfishness, sensitivity, and servant leadership. So we're going to talk about those a little bit, and we're going to touch on those. But let me begin with prayer real quick, and I have a couple announcements. We have some upcoming events coming in. Everything's getting locked in and getting solidified. But let me open with prayer. Father God, we just say thank you today, Lord God. We come to you with hearts of gratitude, God. Father, we come to you, O God, that you, O God, be the purpose, be the reason for all that we do, for all that we are, God. We know that we can do all things through you, God, because you strengthen us, O God. You've kept us this long, God. You delivered us, O God, from ourselves and from sin, God. So we say thank you today, Lord God. Father, continue to use us. Continue to use us to speak life into someone, to encourage a brother today, Lord. And Father, today I just want to touch on I want to intercede for every brother who's struggling, every husband and father who's struggling with issues, with life, with choices, God. They may be tied in their spirit, tied in their body, God, but I ask today that you would touch them and give them strength to continue to press on, that they would not give up, that they would not give up, they would continue to seek you and seek your voice for the solutions to their problems. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, well, today we have a couple announcements. One, we have two upcoming events. First one is the marriage retreat, the Jesus Lives Ministry Fellowship, 75th Annual Marriage Retreat on May the 31st to June the 2nd. That's the weekend of May the 31st and June the 2nd. It's the retreat is price is $345 per couple. That's for the full weekend from Friday to Sunday. That's going to cover the lodging, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Lunch and dinner on Saturday, breakfast Saturday and Sunday, and all the study materials and toolboxes and information you're going to receive. We also have another segment where you can just come on Saturday morning and spend the night on Saturday until Sunday. That's $173. And then if you just want to come up Saturday and spend the day with us in fellowship and teaching, that's going to be on Saturday only. It would be $70 per couple. So that's $345 for the whole weekend, $173 for Saturday and Sunday. And if you just come up on Saturday and spend the day, it's $70 per couple. And that's not including a room. So you have to drive back home, basically. Amen? Amen. March the 1st is the deadline for your first deposit. We have payments. Your first deposit is needed on March the 1st, and the total must be paid by April 30th. You can reach out to Sister Tanny at 443-784-8826, or you can contact me on Facebook at Issues Christian Men's Talk, Twitter, Facebook, send us a message there. You can reach out. We have a Facebook page there. You can reach out to us there, and I can get you the information, forward Sister Tanny, your information, and she can reach out to you. Again, that's the Jesus Lives Ministry and Fellowship 5th Annual Marriage Retreat, May 31st to June 2nd. And personally, myself and my wife, we're alumni. I think we've been to like four of them, if I'm correct. I think so, but we've been to four. They were all a blessing, and we were very blessed by it and by the couples that were there. So, again, that's the marriage retreat on May 31st to June 2nd. Amen? Amen. Now, for my brothers out there, man up, man up, man up. Man up 2019. We are set. We are locked. It's going to be held on April the 27th, 2019, on Saturday morning, April the 27th, from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Doors are open at 9:30. It's going to be located in Brooklyn Park, Maryland. Brooklyn Park, Baltimore. We have the details and the flyer is going to be up next week. Go on our Facebook page. If you're interested, reach out to us. Send us a message, an inbox or something, and we'll give you the details of our registration. We're asking for a $20 donation and to be part of that. And that's going to be April the 27th. We are locked in from 9:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. And our theme and our subject matter is going to be Privileges and Responsibility of God's Man. Privileges and Responsibility of God's Man. So get yourself ready, save up your money, save up $2 a week, and pay the $20 donation. Amen. We'll have more information coming and more details, but again, we are set and we are locked for April the 27th. Put it in your phone, put it on your calendar, tell your wife, let everybody know, and that you're going to be busy Saturday morning, April the 27th, to the Man Up a Gathering. Amen? Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, today we're going to go. Amen. So today we're going to go in and we're going to talk about, again, character traits of God's man. And the first one we're going to talk about is selfishness. Selfishness. Why did I say that? Selfness. Selflessness. Yeah, that's the one I'm looking for. Selflessness. Are we willing to sacrifice for others, basically? Let me go to Timothy, chapter number 4. Timothy, chapter 2. Excuse me. I got my notes here. Let me start again. We're going to go from Titus. Titus, chapter number 2. Titus, chapter number 2, verse number 5, I believe it's 13 and 14. And the Word of God reads, matter of fact, I'm going to start at verse 11. 11 to 15. So that's Titus, chapter 2, at verse number 11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearance of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Verse 14, who gave himself for us that we might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Verse 15, speaking these things, exhorting and rebuking with all authority, let no one despise you. Amen? Amen. So today we just want to encourage in selflessness. Basically, it's a sacrificial. And then sometimes we have to realize that the things that we do, the life that we live, it doesn't matter. Are we selflessness? Are we willing to sacrifice for the sake of others? You know, does it think that we the things that we do, that we when we serve in ministry, when we serve in the community, when we serve in our homes, are we selfish in our attitudes? Is it a character trait of us that we are selfish? We are selfish to be able to serve others, and that's where we are. Because in that, we have to understand, even us as Christian men, in our walk, we are able to redeem people through our acts of kindness, because we are able to introduce them to Christ and make Christ seen in their lives. What do you say, Elder, about being selflessness in our lives and how we treat each other and how the world sees us? Amen?
Amen. And forgive me if it sounds cliche, but one of my biggest things that I always say when speaking to someone, when talking to someone, is that it's a blessing to be a blessing. When you have an opportunity to bless somebody, I feel like it's God giving you an opportunity to say, I can give you more if you'll do a little for someone else. The word says, as you have done unto the least of these, your fellow brethren, you've done unto me. We're serving, and we do it as a sacrifice. And sometimes it's not to the person, it's unto the God within that person. So I know that sometimes we look at it like, oh, well, I didn't feel like it. So what if God said, I don't feel like it right now? What if God didn't take the time to give you everything that you needed and said, you know what, I don't feel like blessing you because you didn't feel like doing something for me? That's not the God that we serve. But just think about it like that. Are you willing to make a sacrifice because you know God will continue to bless you in your sacrifice? Yeah, it may be uncomfortable, but sometimes you got to get uncomfortable to get the things that you want. We all talk about, as men, we talk about, you know, no pain, no gain. You got to go to the, you got to work out to the point of burnout. You got to work to the point where, you know, you're tired and worn out. But, you know, all that stuff is a sacrifice because we see a payoff in it. But the problem is we look at doing for someone else, we don't see the payoff in it unless it's exactly what we want right then and there. For the married man, you know, we don't want to do this. We don't want to go in. You know, we talk about our wives saying, you know, babe, clean the dishes, or baby, do this. And it's first thing, well, she ain't doing what I want. She didn't cook the food I wanted to eat today, or she didn't do this, that, and the other. But are you doing it because of what you think you're going to get back, or because you actually want to be a blessing to someone? You want to live a life like Christ. That's what this scripture is about. That's what it says. The appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior. When we are sacrificing for others, we look like Christ. We resemble what Christ did. We are living a Christ-like life by sacrificing what's comfortable, what feels good to us, by sacrificing that to make sure someone else has their need. I mean, Christ was the ultimate sacrifice. We could never sacrifice as much as he did. But even in the least of what we do, we're still giving God honor. We're still doing what God calls for us to do. And it's an opportunity to see someone else happy, to see somebody else blessed. I know for me, when I see my wife smiling, and I may be uncomfortable, I see her smiling, it makes the uncomfortableness of that situation turn completely around, because the reward in it is that my queen is now happy, and that makes me feel stronger and even greater as a king. Back to you, sir.
Amen. So, you know, I agree. And you know, also we have to understand, too, when we're talking about in sacrificing, we have to understand it's not big things. It's not always the big things. Sometimes it's the little things that we do for those around us. I know you talked about your wife and your marriage relationship, but also within the body of Christ, too. It's the little things. It's the little things that it may not seem much to you, but to some other people see it, and they see it as a great thing, encourages them. It helps them. It makes them feel better. It helps them in understanding who God is, because God, you know, again, we know that God knows about the little things in our lives and the big things. God knows about our surgeries. God knows about our headaches. God knows about our concerns over the little things, you know, the smallest things that may concern us and get us upset. God knows, and God has a plan, and God has an answer. And for other folk, need to see that too, that we care about the little things. You know, sometimes we want to do great and wonderful things, you know, but sometimes it's just a handshake, a hug, a smile, reaching out to somebody, calling somebody up, sending somebody a text of encouragement. These are the things that we have to also understand that itself. It may not take a lot of time for us, but it could mean a big thing to a person. So we could take our little and our big. And then also we have to understand too that I think these are in this selflessness is also a fruit of the Spirit, because it's produced, our salvation produces us in us. Because again, Christ sacrificed a great deal for us. He sacrificed his life. God, the Father, sacrificed just for us because he loved us so much. So this is, again, is a character trait that we have to be able to convey to other people, and people have to see. Because, again, we have to remember, some people's lives, a lot of people are suffering under being taken advantage of. There's people always wanting something from them, trying to take advantage of them, manipulate them. But then to show a true love for someone, do something for someone and not expecting anything in return, but it's because you love them. And taking it back to marriage, you know, we're married, we're one flesh. Do we do for our spouse, men and women, husbands and wives, are we doing for our spouse because they're our spouse and because we're committed and to love them? Or are we doing things, are we getting into the place of we're doing tit for tat, which is a dangerous, dangerous place to be in marriage, because that means everybody's looking out for their own, and that's not what God created marriage for, and it is not a healthy marriage. But, again, every man has to look at himself, look at who he is, look what motivates you. Are you motivated by love? Because sacrificial giving, being selflessness, giving to others and not expecting in return, just as Christ gave himself, that's it. You have to get there, but you have to be on purpose about getting there. And it comes through obedience, and it comes through the Holy Spirit, and it's about being accountable. And it's one of the things I want to share. Well, I'm going to come back to you, Elder, but it's can you be, again, even in this conversation, are you offended, or can you be corrected and start to make changes in who we are and how we handle things? Because, again, if we look back over our life, we look back over this last week, when could we have done something different or better, that the outcome would have been better for somebody else? What do you say, sir?
You know, so many times we our thought process is that we're trying to encourage someone, and then someone receives it as judgment, like you're looking down on me. And I just, as we always express, you know, none of us in this earthly walk have it all together. I was talking to a gentleman, and our conversation was about that every day we have to realize that we're all in a different process. We're all in a process to get to where God has us, but we're all in different stages in our process. But the day that the process is over is the day that you die. That's the time you take your last breath. When God is finished with your process, that's when you take the last breath, and it's your turn. It's your time to be called back to your true home, your true heavenly home, to be seated at his feet, to be in heaven. That's when your process is over. Until then, you're still a work in progress every single day. We are all growing, and we are, you know, I pray that as we're talking, we're encouraging someone not to feel like this is pointing out your faults or saying what you're doing wrong, that you're not doing this or you're not living right, you're not being a man, you're not doing this. But even this is a time where we sacrifice. Even when you speak to encourage someone, that's sacrifice, because you could sit with your mouth closed and say absolutely nothing. As some of us hear from God, some of us will pray and hear from God and will have that open communication with God. But if you hold on to salvation and share it with nobody, you've done nothing. our prayer was that we would be a conduit to share what God has poured into us, what God is blessing us with. The same thing, when you receive blessings, even in this earthly walk, when you receive blessings, when you receive things that make you happy, wouldn't it feel good to make someone else happy with that same thing? So when you receive the love of God, wouldn't it make you feel good to share that love with somebody else? To do that sacrificial thing for somebody else because God sacrificed for you? That's what it's about. And we get to the place where we just are so caught up in what we're losing and what we're not willing to give up. What's going to make us look like less of a man if we do this, if we do that. Sometimes we need to get beyond what the world says we look like and start living to show the love of God, because God loved us beyond ourselves, beyond any place we could ever love ourselves. And all he's asking for is us to treat our fellow brother, treat those around us in the same way, to show that love. That is the first and great commandment, to love thy neighbor as thyself, to just truly love. And that's what sacrifice calls for, love. That's what love calls for, sacrifice. If you can do that, then yeah, you're truly in a place where you love somebody. That's what you do for love, whether it be for the person standing next to you, the stranger on the street, your wife that you sleep next to every night. However you sacrifice, when it's about someone else and it's not about what you're going to get back, you're doing so unto the glory of God. Press on, my brothers, press on. Back to you, sir.
Amen. And yes, that is important, and that's where it comes from. What are we willing to do for others? Are we willing, and even in the little things, are we willing to give of ourselves, give of our time to share the gospel with someone? See, that's why it's all inclusive. It's just not one thing. It's multifaceted, and that's why it's a work of God. It's a supernatural change of attitude, mind, and heart, and how we see the world. Because even this comes with, are we willing to go and evangelize? Are we willing to sacrifice our time to go and to minister to the stranger, to share the gospel message? But all we think, here we go, this is the part we get in trouble. Do we think just going to church for 3 hours on Sunday and maybe Bible study is enough, and that's what God saved you for, and that's all God's called you for? And then the thing I wanted to share when the brother said, yeah, we all are at different levels and different stages. You know, we need to look at ourselves as a team, that we all have a position and a purpose to play in the greater plan of what God has for us. The church that we're in, the local congregation, those that we're connected with, there's a reason why our lives are intersecting and connected, that we can fulfill his glory and his purpose. But we have to do our part no matter where we are. Because even if you're saved, to share, to evangelize, it's a gift, but it's also who you are that you could tell somebody. How can you be a Christian? You can't tell somebody what you believe and why you believe it. And let them know that what God, the goodness of God, the forgiveness and love of God. How do you convey that? Because if you say you are, again, you say that you're a Christian. So why won't you tell someone else? Because that's what we're here in 2019. Also, Issues Christian Men Talk is about evangelism. And all these characteristics come back to, are we telling folk about the goodness of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ, that they too maybe come into the knowledge? And we could do that at any level we are. And one more thing, I just want to talk about this itself, and if we're going to move on to the next one, but the importance of how we see, like the brother said, how we see the leaders in our church and people that we're part of, and when they come to us for correction, and even when those same people, they make mistakes, or they go through trials, or they make a bad decision, or they stumble and fall, do we see them? How do we see them? Or are we so selfish to think that we want our leaders and our ministers and our pastors, and we want all of them to be perfect? And if they do anything we don't like, you know, we go into a whole another realm of stuff. But again, that's what we have to look at as men of God. Are we selflessness enough to be able to give forgiveness to others when they fall, when they mistake, and minister to help them to get through the struggles they're going through? Amen? Amen. Amen. You're listening to Issues Christian Men Talking. I'm Deacon Farr here with Elder Mark, and today we're talking about some of the character traits of a godly man. The next one we want to touch upon, we want to go into, is sensitivity. Sensitivity, exercising the kindness of compassion so that we can go beyond just reason and logic to perceive and respond to others. Are we sensitive to the needs of others? To husbands and wives, are you sensitive? At some point in your marriage, from the dating, the courtship, and even after the ceremony, because again, you know me, weddings and marriages are two separate things. They have nothing to do with each other. However, in your marriage, are you sensitive to your spouse? Are you growing in sensitivity to your spouse and being able to deal with the ups and downs and the struggles as life comes at you? I want to go real quick to scripture, Romans chapter 12, and I'm going to start at, it's Romans chapter 12, verse 15. Romans chapter 12, verse 15. And the word says, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. 16. But of the same mind toward one another, do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Amen. Are we sensitive to others when they're going through? Are we sensitive to our spouses? Let's start in our spouses in our homes. Are you, as a man of God, as a husband and father, sensitive to what's going on in your home, sensitive to be able to minister to your family, sensitive to know when something's not right? Are we praying for them? Are we connected to, are we concerned about their spiritual growth, their spiritual development? Or do we have compassion in the struggles? And some of this I look back at for fathers, the things that our children go through, you know, they just go, you know, because some of us, again, let me go back, I like to go back, because some of us wasn't raised in the church, and some of us dealt with a lot of things in our teen years, early 20 years. We dealt with it differently. But now, are we sensitive to the struggles that our children may be having now? Even our 20-year-olds, our 30-year-old children, their struggles in finding themselves in their ways and dealing with life and circumstances and relationships. Are we sensitive to it? Are we connected enough to know and be involved that in there, when they're struggling, that we weep with them, encourage them, have compassion for what they're going through, and still be able to minister? And are we perceived to it, perceptive to it? Let me say this, and I'm going to come to you, Elder. We realize when you ask people how they're doing and they go blessed and highly favored, they go everything is well, they're not necessarily telling the truth. So do we have a sensitivity for those around us in our circle to ask the next question, the next thing, or just to give someone a hug or to give them a word of encouragement, even though, because you never know what someone's going through? What do you say, sir?
Amen. You know, it's one of the ladies from my ministry. She defined the word fine, and I wish I could break it down, but it was like the word, when people say the word fine, it really means like frustrated, irritated, neurotic, and something else. But it was like, you know, it's that mask that we put on to say, and just like you said, you know, we say blessed and highly favored. And some people really mean it. Some people say it as a cliche because it's catchy to say, oh, it's like pronouncing, oh, I'm a Christian. Then some people actually are using as a mask because they don't want to even talk about what's going on because they don't think you'll understand. And, you know, I was blessed to minister one time, and I used a kind of analogy talking about men and women, but it applies now. When you talk about your perception of someone else and the reasons why they're going through and what's logical for them, it may not be logical for you. And I believe I may have said it here before, but the application of logic to stupidity is a futile attempt. But what you must understand is that what's logic for us, for you, is based on your sum of experiences. And what's stupidity is what you don't understand because you haven't experienced it. Like you said, we're all in a different process. We're all going through different things that shape us to be either the hand that's a part of the body, the foot that's a part of the body, the heart, whatever part we're being shaped to be, we're going through different things. Some of us may be able to relate, some of us may not. But what makes sense to me because of what I've gone through may not make sense to you. But in sensitivity, I have to reach out and be there as a support, as an encouragement. Like you said when Deacon Frost started the show, iron does sharpen iron. We have to be. We might not be the sword faces that match up. But when that metal hits metal and grinds together, they're both sharpened. They're both encouraged. But if when we look at somebody and we just automatically assume what they're going through makes absolutely no sense, we have no desire to even attempt to understand or to even console. Sometimes we will console, men, we will console our wives and not understand what she's talking about. I do it all the time. But I know that my wife just wants to know that I am attempting to understand what she's going through. And sometimes people just need to know you're attempting to understand so that you can help them get through. That's the love of Christ. Some things we will not get. It won't make sense. But are you sensitive enough? And sensitive, let's not get it twisted. Sensitive does not mean weak. Sensitive does not mean that you're not a man. Sensitive means that you react to someone else's plight or pain. You are willing to take the time to understand and help them make it through, even though you may not understand what they're going through. Sometimes you don't have to fix a person's problem. You just have to allow them to express what their problem is. Back to you, sir.
Amen, sir. And you made two perfectly good points there. You're right. You know, example of our wives, for husbands, for the brothers out there. You know, sometimes our minds work. Let me say, I'm going to use a broad stroke right now. A male mind, a female mind works differently. So you may not be able to understand what's upsetting your wife, your spouse, but just have sense enough to know to show them the sympathy. To be able to, like you said, like the brother said, sometimes to listen, to be a sounding board, to just encourage, just to hold them, just to whatever. But you have to be sensitive to know that there's something going on that you may not have to, and something I have to learn for myself. I may not have all the answers, or she doesn't even want me to give her the answer. She just wants me to hear what she has and let me be a sounding board, or let her, whatever we want to call it, download, or just, you know, just cry on your shoulder, however you want to say it. But she's not really necessarily looking for you to answer or solve. She's just looking for you to be sympathetic to her. And then, and also now in the body of Christ, it's the same thing with folk. As folk are walking this Christian walk and going through struggles in life, are we sensitive enough to have enough compassion for them and understand it? Or do we come straight with rebuke, correction, and what's the other one? Condemnation. Because, you know, when we mess up, that tells me when you mess up, you don't tell nobody. If you're ready to condemn, convict, and rebuke someone who's going through and may have a backslidden or fallen or made a bad choice or whatever it is. Because that, again, comes back to being sensitive, is having that compassion. And then the other side of that, I want to come to you, Elder, on your thoughts on this, is what do you do when you're going through something? Can you have sympathy for somebody else? Right in the midst of your struggle, your sadness, your depression, your whatever it is, but now is there enough God in you that you can still have compassion when someone else, when something happens to somebody else? You know, I use the example of, you know, you just lost your job. You lost your job, you've been out of work for a while, but then you know someone's who family member passed away. Even in the midst of that, can you take the focus off yourself to have enough sensitivity and have compassion and sympathy for them in the midst of them? And sometimes, again, it goes back to the other thing about selflessness. You know, are we willing to say, how can you help? Ask someone, how can I help? That can be a lot for the person who's going through things. To show enough that you say, well, how can I help? And you'd be surprised what people might say, or people might just say they appreciate you, and that's all they need to hear, that you're there. And always, always, always is prayer. When you know of a circumstance or a situation, do what he's going to do for that person in the midst. What do you say, sir?
Amen. You know, I think it's a lot of times, like you said, well, first off, being selfish and selfless is so close, so easily confused and so mixed up. But that's a prime example, what you said, Deacon, for if you're going through an issue, does someone else's issue matter? That's the difference of selflessness and selfishness. Are you so selfish that your issue is the only thing that is the only issue that exists? Like if you're going through, like you said, you lost your job. Is that the only issue that now exists in the world that everyone else is supposed to deal with your issue, but if someone else has a problem, it's like, well, I don't have time for that. I've lost my job. Are you so caught up on just yourself? Understand, we all have struggles. We all have issues. I don't care if you got $1 million, $1 billion, if you got negative $100, whatever. I don't care if you're big, tall, skinny, fat, chubby, however you say, whoever or whatever you are, white, black, whatever. We're all going through different things. But if your issue means so much, or you're caught up in your issue so much that you can't even see that someone else is going through another issue, you have to reevaluate yourself. You honestly have to reevaluate yourself. If you can't look beyond yourself to see that someone else is going through something, you may not understand it once again, but if you're unwilling to look at someone else and with compassion to even acknowledge that they're going through something, and I think sometimes we're afraid to ask that question, how can I help? Because we feel like there's nothing I could do, so if I ask them how can I help and they say what they need, I can't do it, so what good is it, so why should I say anything? You know, that's a faith question. That's probably going to be another conversation, another show, Deacon Farr. But yeah, that's a faith question. You just have to rest assured that God will give the provisions needed for both of you, for each person. You have to believe that. It's hard to do, especially when you're going through a situation when you just lost your job and you're saying, "What do you mean God's going to give the provisions for both things?" Well, have you ever looked and thought? Sorry about to go off on a tangent, but have you ever looked and thought, maybe I lost my job because God's got a better job for me. I just got to hold on tight to what his promises and move forward. Maybe this person is going through a problem and they needed me. Maybe I needed to not be working today to be able to talk to someone about their problem so they wouldn't commit suicide.
Oh, my.
God,
oh, my.
Sometimes I... Did I do it? I'm sorry. I didn't mean to start.
No. You right over it, bro. You right. You got it. That's exactly it.
That's the
keep on going.
About it. So okay. So I'm gonna put this in a scenario for people. Let's just say that today you were in a car accident. So you didn't get hurt, but your car is total. So tomorrow to get to work, you have to ride the bus. You get on the bus, and when you get on the bus, there's a little kid on the bus who's crying. Now, you could talk to that child, you know, a little young, you know, young guy, teenager maybe, he's crying. Everyone around him is, like, ignoring him. But now something pulls on you and says, go tell that young guy, you know, hey, man, it's going to be all right, bro. I don't know what's up, but, you know, it's going to be okay. Now, that kid on the bus, you would have never seen had you not been in that car accident. But that kid who you just said is going to be all right was thinking about going home to kill himself because he said, God, if somebody will talk to me, I won't kill myself. But if nobody talks to me, if nobody says anything to me, by the time when I get home, I'm going to kill myself. Now, your voice was the voice of encouragement. So now, 20 years down the line, he is now a preacher who was the one who ends up christening, let's just say, your little cousin or your son or your child. He's the one that speaks the eulogy at a family member's funeral that saves hundreds of people because now they want to give their life because he said his story about how he met a person, never knowing that you're even sitting in the crowd. But had you not gone through the suffering or the incident where you had the car accident to be on the bus, to speak to the young man, he wouldn't have been the person he is 20 years down the line. But if you were so selfish that in your car accident, now you're riding the bus mad with the world, you're not going to talk to anybody, you're mad, you're caught up in your issue, you never noticed that young man crying. Look at the difference. Selfish or selfless? Back to you, sir.
Amen, sir. You're absolutely correct. And, you know, that's what it is. We have to understand what God is. God sees it all. God is omnipresent, all-knowing. God is eternal. And God sees the beginning and the end. So he knows our lives. He put this, our lives are going to intersect, and they don't intersect by purpose, by random chance. There's a purpose why we are connected with one another. There's a purpose why you listen to this program. There's a purpose why me and Elder are here on a Saturday morning talking about it. There's a purpose why those people last week that you crossed, your lives intersected, even if it was for a few minutes. It's even when we go out in evangelism, you know, we go out into communities and we go out and pray for people, just prayer walks. I recently had an experience that was similar to this because we went out and did a prayer. Now, this might sound unusual for you, for my church folk, but after church service, we went into the community and prayed and evangelized and witnessed a little bit to be able to reach the community to show that we were the faithful and be committed to. And we went and go in doing that. We had a woman come up and get prayer from some of the sisters because she was going through. She came out of our house and she came and connected one of the sisters and the sisters gathered around her and prayed and encouraged her just in that moment. Now, what if we didn't do that and we do what a lot of us do after service is go get something to eat, go home, kick off our clothes, go home and do whatever. You know, we have because our mind, because we know, as we know, some of us, we got a whole bunch of stuff going on as soon as church is over. But if we didn't go and was able to reach and pray for that sister on that Sunday afternoon, how much more would her week have been, or how much better did we make her week, or how much harder would it have been if we weren't there? And these are the things we have to look at in our lives and be sensitive to. And then again, and when I talk about sensitivity, it's about being sensitive to the Holy Spirit in our life. What are we doing? How are we living our lives? What are we focusing on? Are we focusing on the things of God? Are we focusing on reaching the lost or ministering to one, first of all, one another in the church? Look around our church and is everybody okay? Is everybody okay in our local congregation? Because again, it's just not by happenstance or random chance that we're all in the ministry, in that service, coming together on a Sunday morning. Sometimes we take it for granted. It becomes habit. It becomes habitual. And we just do it and just do it. We don't think about the ramifications of it. So this is what we have to do as men. And this is what God is going to do in us if we allow him. And if we seek, again, this is just a checkup. This is an oil check for the brothers out there. Because I'm not going to say that we all have it together. I'm not going to say I'll have it together because sometimes stuff roll up. Stuff happens to us so fast because sometimes life comes at you at full speed. You don't have time to react. But if we settle in our spirits and we're sensitive around us and those around us, and know that the stuff that we're going through, somebody else is going through, but it may break them. That's the other part of it. You know, you hear a testimony about something, somebody struggling. Oh yeah, that's no big deal. You know, God got me through that. You know, those kind of testimonies, they're not really serving anything. Because that same thing that God delivered you from and got you through could kill somebody else unless they had a compassionate someone to go come alongside and tell them it's going to be okay. So this is what we have to be as men of God. Because as we lead in the home, as we lead in the church, and we lead in our communities, we have to be sensitive and we have to be selflessness to fulfill the purpose of why God saved us, why God created us, and put us in the places the body of Christ. Amen. You're listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk, and I'm Deacon Thomas Fowler here with Elder Mark. And today we just want to encourage the brothers out there in the character traits of godly men, of the character of God's man. We talked about selflessness. We talked about being sensitive and about being compassionate for those and exercising and living it out in application on how we can encourage one another, brothers and sisters in Christ, and especially each other as men. As husbands, fathers, and sons, because we have more in common than we have we have different, and we're going through the same things, but we're here to help each other, because truly iron does sharpen iron. So we just want to encourage you. Amen. Amen. One more. We're going to touch upon here. We have a couple. We have about 10 minutes left, and we can get this in, but we can continue this conversation on coming up in continuing in other shows. But also today, I just wanted to touch on real quick about servant leadership. As men, are we exercising real godly leadership as Christ did? Are we showing real leadership and godly leadership in the responsibilities that God has given us? Responsibilities that we have as men in the community, as men in the church, as men in our homes, as husbands and fathers and sons. Are we showing servant leadership? Real, I'm gonna come to you, Elder, real quick, but I want to go to the scripture. This because this scripture I was studying this morning. I just wanted to bring something to the people, to the brothers out here, to look at. It's Luke chapter 22. It's Luke chapter 22. I'm gonna read a verse, but I'm gonna give a quick. put it this way. I'm gonna give brothers homework. You need to read the whole chapter of Luke 22. And you'll see what I've seen, and you understand what I've understood. Because when I was looking at it, it's like, really? After all this, and this is what he does. But anyway, Luke 22, verse 26. Luke 22, verse number 26, servant leadership. It says, "But not so among you. On contrary, he who is greatest among you, let him as a younger. And he who governs as he who serves. But he who is greater, he who sits at the table, or he who serves. It is not he who sits at the table, yet I am among you as the one who serves." And that's what we have to look at. Is our service greater than being served? Do we reach a high place as we have people serving us? Or is it greater for us to continue to serve people and to minister to people and to help people along this walk and along this and be disciple makers and to be able to disciple people and stand by people and encourage people and to yield ourselves to help them achieve and reach what God, their full potential, what God has for them. What do you say, sir, about serving leadership?
Servant leadership. You know, we talk a lot about leadership, and I guess one of the easier ways or context to put it is when we talk about being a boss or being a leader. And that kind of, I know it steps away from the biblical understanding of what we just, you know, referenced in Luke 22. But when you talk about the difference between a boss and a leader, a boss is a person who wants to just be in control and tell everybody what to do. A leader is a person who wants to step in and says that we are a team together, that we're going to push up, we're going to work through this, we're going to get through this. The leader is a person that wants to give everyone on the team the right tools to get the job done the right way, where a boss is someone who wants to yell at everybody and make them do and respect them because of their title. Servant leadership, you're a servant. Like you're the higher your title, the more responsibility you have to everyone else around you. As a servant leader, you truly want to just Christ. Even going back, the Last Supper, Christ served those following him. By example, he got down on his hands and knees and washed their feet. That's what servant leadership is about. It goes all the way to the self. It builds on the selflessness. It builds on the sensitivity. The servant leader is a person that is willing to sacrifice to give to those who to those they have a responsibility to, the one that they're showing life, that the one that they're giving an example to. You want to be an example to your family, as men. You want to be an example to those in your ministry, to those around you. The word says that you should be the head and not the tail. That means your leadership. You should show the qualities that others would want to follow, and those qualities should be reflective of who God is. You should be a representation. My pastor, Apostle Banks, always says, she does a lot with wordplay, but she says, as a representative of God, you should represent God with everything that you do. That's what it means when you're a representative of God. When you are a Christian, you should represent God in everything that you do to everyone around you. As a leader, as a servant, you should be on your hands and knees for if you're to show others how to get down on their hands and knees, to serve, to pray, to fast, to push through. All of us will go through struggles. All of us will fall. I think one of my favorite songs, and I was listening to it recently, is by Donnie McClurkin, and it talks about the song. I think the title is Fallen, or We Fall Down. But it says a saint is just a sinner who fell down and got up. You want to be the one who we know and acknowledge that we will fall. But as a servant leader, you show people what it means to get back up and keep giving God the praise in the midst of it. And that's where your blessings are going to come through. When you are desiring to be a blessing to someone else just because you want to be a blessing, not to get blessed, not to get something back, not to get a reward, not to get a payoff, but because your love for God and the God within that person calls for you to serve their needs. That's what servant leadership is about. Back to you, sir.
Amen. And, you know, also we have to understand, too, because when we talk about servant leadership, when we look at the example of Christ washing the apostles' feet, it's what are we sowing into the lives of others? What are we really sowing into other people's lives? Do the spiritual? Are we praying for folk? Are we discipling folk, mentoring folk? Financial? You know, are we sowing into the lives of people? People who just need financial help. You never know how you can help, given the time of abundance and the time of overflow. We'd like to say that, but that's not. But God does not give an increase anywhere for ourselves, for you, to squirrel it away, to whatever you do with it. But how can you bless somebody else? You know, I'll say this because I know that whole concept has been manipulated and really stolen and been misrepresented. However, but in the body of Christ, are we showing that everyone is being taken care of? You know, there's times when people need help in the church, and is the church willing to help? Or is the church seeking to help? Are we showing that leadership that if I have a giving spirit and I'm showing others how to give, thereby someone else is being blessed? Like you were saying, you know, because I know Apostle Banks, she talks about the blessings and giving the blessings as you receive blessings. And that, are you living out that kind of life? And also our service can be to others is just being an example. Because, folk in the church, I always like to go back to everyone who was raised in the church. And the things that people learn how to be Christians, they learn in the church. And are we making good examples to make good disciples, to make good Christians, to have a good church, the church that gives, a church that sows in each other and supports one another. And again, in our circles, in those who we are mentored, or even those we are in fellowship with, are we making good examples in how we live and the choices we make every day? So again, these are some of the things that we want to encourage you in the character traits of letting God be God, letting God shape and mold us and make us different than we were. And again, we measure ourselves through Scripture, we measure ourselves through the Word of God and the Holy Spirit working in us. So today we've talked about servant leadership, being sensitive, and being selflessness in our character and our walk and our heart and our minds and how we carry ourselves. Elder, again, brother, I want to thank you for joining us and being part of the program. I'm going to let you have the closing comments and pray us out. And again, you've been listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk, and I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. We're here every Saturday morning at 9 a.m., Mondays at 8 p.m., and Thursdays at 8 p.m. to continue to speak into the lives of men and encourage them as they lead in their homes, in the community, and in the church. Elder, God bless you and thank you.
Thank you, sir. God bless you. God bless you. And to those on the line listening, once again, just a word of encouragement. Be encouraged, for God has more for you than you saw yesterday. All it takes is for you to call upon his name and continue to serve, continue to be a blessing so that you may be blessed in the abundance that comes from God. Father, we honor you and bless you. We give you praise this day and every day. We thank you, Lord God, for a time of fellowship, a time of encouragement, as iron truly sharpens iron. Allow us to stand, Lord God, as your conduits, Lord God, to share the blessing that you bestow upon us in the abundance that is you and you alone. We give you honor and praise this day and pray to the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.